Hi guys, welcome to Hot Literati. The Hot Literati is a collective of hot, cool, well-read people. My name is Halo, and I'm happy that you're here. Last time we talked a bit about dissociation as women dating men and Anais Nin. Today I want to talk a little bit about Nin, and then centering yourself, because I felt like called to make an episode. And I had the subject in mind, and then I was on Discord, and I had the ridiculously long message from a sweet, sweet listener at 5 a.m. on January 7th. So if that was you, hi, I read the entire thing. I'm sorry that you're stressed, but I feel like as someone who's not that much older than you, I'm only 4 years older than you, I feel like this is a good subject to think about in relationship to womanhood, girlhood, disordered eating, friendship, all of these subjects that were brought up. So with that, I kind of want to start where we left off with the last episode, which is that dating can be really dissociative, and it can make you feel like you're something that's being experienced and fragmented. And at the end of the Nin book, spoiler alert, we get her finally having female friendship. There is still a male character present that's been observing her the entire time. And then she, after having all of these affairs and feeling affected by them and fragmented by them, she listens to a Bach prelude and just starts sobbing and is moved through art. And there are memes about this. The person who sent the message said this, someone else said this in Discord. A lot of the time, the sadness that you feel, I think, about your relationships, about platonic relationships, about romantic relationships, familial, those can be really upsetting. And a lot of the time, I think we want someone else to comfort, to comfort us. And I think in moments that I've allowed stillness, I've been really good about it in the past year, but before I would just be laying there trying to go to sleep, and I would hear things, not literally, I would just hear phrases in my head kind of that just repeated to me. And one that I was hearing, I feel during the early bit of my move to New York, was no one's coming to save you, no one's coming to save you. And at first, that would make me so upset. I would be stressed about something. I got sick randomly a lot this year, and I would be I would be feeling so helpless, and having just been out of a 4-year relationship, I'd want someone to come help me. And I would just keep hearing no one's coming to save you, no one's coming to save you. And I think a lot of the time, once we process that shock or fear, we can turn it into art. We can turn it into an opportunity to prove to ourselves how capable and independent and powerful we really are. Because I was talking about it with my brother the other day, I created an entire life for myself here. And when I was living in Europe with my now ex, I would lay in bed towards closer to the breakup and think about what I wanted my life to be here, to be here every night. And my life now, it's more fulfilling and exciting than I was ever imagining during my breakup. So I think loneliness, especially this feminine loneliness, when you feel it's very scary to be vulnerable with a partner, or I've been really vocal about female friendship after reading Between Women by Eichenbaum and Orbach, a really cool psychology book on female friendship. Female friendship can be a little prickly, it's so emotionally involved, and it's really wonderful when it's wonderful. And then when you have a friend breakup, it's so upsetting. It's worse than any other breakup. And I had a really tough friend breakup during the summer. And when I went home briefly after, not because of it, but I was going home anyways to see my family. And I remember being racked with so much guilt, and so much guilt. And I was watching this, like, rom-com with my family, and it was, like, a rom-com with this thread of, like, girlhood and friendship, and I was like, oh, no, like, I'm such a bad person, like, I feel awful. And then given time to, like, step back and reflect and, like, talk to other friends, like, make new friends, I realized that that is, like, the friend breakup I had, I truly believe was just, like, the byproduct of different, like, paths in life, different priorities, different goals, and that's okay, because I think the person in the message kept saying that what they were writing and, like, processing made them feel like a narcissist, and I think, like, as women, whenever we're not, like, serving someone, whenever we feel like we're not doing, like, the good thing, we can feel extremely, like, selfish and guilty, but also, like, you're not, like, you're not selfish for just, like, choosing to prioritize yourself sometimes. And I've said this in, like, a written piece because, like, a friend of mine, she's, like, she feels like an older sister type. She was the person who first said to me on the subject of, like, Christianity, actually, but, like, when you give too much, when you feel like you have to be, like, selfless all the time in your relationships, it creates this seed of resentment in you. It's funny because my planner has, like, little quotes on the top, and the one today was about how, like, anger, if not confronted, can ruin a relationship, and I think resentment caused by this feeling that you have to give, like, everything, you have to give all of yourself to someone, which I think is, like, a very, like, intense common feeling in female friendship. I think that can be, like, this resentment that just, like, grows and grows and grows and grows, and sometimes situations just change and people change, and that's okay. That was definitely a tangent, but what I wanted to kind of, like, land on was I kept hearing this, like, no one's coming to save you, and I think even though it was really scary at first, it propelled me on this journey of, like, independence and, like, this post-breakup journey of, like, looking for fulfillment through independence and through doing things by myself, because, like, I don't know, I called, like, 2023 my Eve Babbitt's year, and I was, like, dating, like, you know, running around having fun, and it was very fun, but I think my first few dates, I was so, like, enamored or in awe of the person, like, if they were interesting, and I, like, desperately, like, wanted their approval, I wanted them to think I was, like, cool and pretty, and then, I was on this podcast, this, like, creator's podcast, I don't think she ever put it out, but, I, like, met her, and we, like, recorded it, and I remember she asked me what feminism meant to me, and, at the time, like, I think feminism for me was starting to feel like very, like a very personal project of, like, how I thought of things, how I shaped my own consciousness. And the best example for me was, like, if I was going on a date, when I was going on a date, instead of getting dressed and thinking, like, I want him to think I look pretty, I would prioritize, like, comfort and liking what I looked like in my own outfit, and then I would show up and I would think, okay, like, when I get to this day, I'm going to look at him, I'm going to think, like, do I like him, do I think he's cute, do I want to be here? And I think that's such an important thing that now we're back to Nin, and then I think as Fine the House of Love kind of unveils for us is the importance of centering yourself in yourself, of, like, not dissociating and truly being connected with how you feel about things, how you feel about people, and, like, listening, like, creating space to listen to that little voice, because that little voice is, like, you. And the message from the lovely listener said towards the end, I believe, that they just want, like, a friend that has as much, like, depth as them, and they want a friend who is as thoughtful and is as curious. And believe me, like, I'm the same way. I have a friend who I only talk to, like, once every few months, and we met at school. We have, like, a really bizarre story of friendship, like, that episode I have about that religious cult, we were, like, in that together, and then we, like, got out, but she's literally the best. And we talked about this. Like, she said something that really stuck with me that was like, if she had a conversation and she felt like someone didn't get like deep, she kind of felt like she failed. And I didn't realize, like, I've felt like that my whole life too. But also, like, not everyone's like that. Not everyone wants to be that vulnerable with people. Not everyone, I don't want to say they don't like have that depth, but not everyone wants to like dive into the depths of their like consciousness all the time. And if you're listening to this, you probably are one of those people, and that's why we all struggle with like the same issues, but we also find like reverent beauty in the same things. So that being said, like, to me, I feel like you have that friend in yourself, like, not to be corny, but I think if you carve out this space for, like, stillness, the space for, like, spirituality, if you're spiritual, like, religion, if you're religious, or just that space to, like, be curious about yourself, like, what do you like, what interests do you have, like, how do you feel about things? And I think carving out the stillness, the space to, like, ask yourself that question and then really, like, sit and, like, let the response come out, like, I think that's how you get that companion that you're looking for. And it's a companion that's literally never gonna leave you, because it's you. And, you know, it's your like intuition, it's the little voice inside of your head. And I think that getting connected to that is extremely fulfilling and centering. And I think you mentioned like shadow work in your message, and I think like the Nin book honestly is like a good example of this. Like, you have to go back into your past and understand like why you are who you are now and like what you need based on that. And I think that's how you like make that friend, but in terms of like actual friendship with people who aren't you in your head, yeah, I mean, I can only speak to how I approach it, and I've had periods where I think I wasn't like the best friend, like I'm not a saint, but I think I do have a big heart and I try to be compassionate. And I think like shared priorities are honestly really important. For example, like I think I'm like very ambitious, and I've realized like once moving here and kind of having like a schedule that is not the friends that I do see the most ever friends who are also like extremely understanding of that, because they are also very ambitious. And it's been like really lovely to surround myself with like-minded people, but they're also like not people that I sought out. I kind of just got attuned to like myself, like what I liked doing, what I felt like I needed to prove to myself. And then the people just like came to me, and like, not to be like corny or like woo woo, but like one of my closest best friends now, I was out at this like lounge months ago. That I was only at that lounge because this guy took me there on a date, and two different guys took me to the same place on a date because they were trying to be very like impressive. And they turned out to, you know, I like wasn't really vibing with either one of them, but I'm the type of person, and this is, I think this connects to like Nin, because she was seeking out things and like all these guys she's dating, and then she realized she kind of just has to like be who she is and like integrate these parts of herself that she lost through them, or was like trying to find through them, back into herself. So if I'm on a date with someone and I find them like really admirable and I realize it's like projection and not attraction, I will try to do whatever I'm projecting, like whatever desire I'm projecting onto them, I will try to figure out how to do that for myself. That's why I like started playing guitar, that's why I joined a band, it's why I like it became like a part of this like lounge moment. And in this lounge with another one of my friends who I'm now realizing I need to text back, I ran into one of the people who's now one of my closest friends, who I absolutely adore, in just like the stairwell. And we hung out for the first time, and then we were walking back home and we realized we're like basically neighbors, which is so fun. And then I know New York is like unique because there's a lot of foot traffic, but there are a lot of uncanny moments where I will literally just run into someone on the sidewalk and they'll become like a great friend, or like a good friend of mine now I met like in the grocery store. So I honestly get a little woo-woo about it. And I think when you create like the best environment in your head and your heart, and you're like connected to yourself, and you're really like challenging yourself to do the things that you want to do the things that you know you need to do, to like integrate all of these parts that you maybe are like trying to find in other people into yourself. I think the right friends just like come to you. I think God puts them there, whatever you believe in. So yeah, I think a lot of it's like deeply, deeply personal work. And yeah, I think like the other thing I wanted to mention, because I think this is relevant to this conversation of like gender and like finding yourself within yourself and like integration or whatever, the one thing that I would hear a lot towards the end of my breakup, I mentioned hearing like no one's going to save you, which is really like disorienting and then orienting. I would hear, I don't want to be a ball of unfulfilled desires. Like, I don't even know where that came from. I think I was reading the Between Women book, and that's when I first learned about jealousy is almost always like a projected desire. I think between women that happens the most, like when you're jealous of someone, a lot of the time it means you like want something that they have. And I try to be attuned to that with myself, because like I'm not immune. I feel jealous of people all the time. But then I try to give myself the space to like step back and ask why. Yeah, I think that happens, like I said, with like attraction, with like within romance more too. Like, are you projecting or are you attracted to something? But the thing that I kept hearing because of the book I was reading was, I don't want to be a ball of unfulfilled desires. I don't want to be a ball of unfulfilled desires. And I think as a woman, like finding yourself after a breakup or in like the insane dating landscape that we've created with the apps, which I personally think are on a quick decline, I think it's not becoming a ball of unfulfilled desires, because you know what you want and you go after it. Because I think deep down, everyone wants something like pure. Everyone wants something that's going to fulfill them, that won't hurt anyone else. Everyone wants like a career that they never let themselves say out loud, or they want to be an artist, or they want to, you know, even if you want to be like a mother, even if you want to be a trad wife and that's like your dream in life, I think finding that desire, identifying it, and like going for it with your whole heart, I think that's how you like reorient yourself as a person, and how you like find yourself after losing yourself. Because I think Schopenhauer says a lot about society taking like a child who already kind of like knows everything and then putting all of these like ascriptions and things on and like casting them in like the show that is society and life or whatever. And I think that the process of reorienting and like pursuing those desires is kind of being like, wait, like I don't want this part, I want this part. Or like, wait, I don't really want to be in the show, I want to like live a real authentic life. And yeah, I think that you all can do it, and I feel like I've done a good bit of the work, but there's always more to go. But it's fun because it's a journey, and just appreciate the journey. To the person who sent that message, you're young, you have all the time in the world. I think centering yourself and your senses will help with like a lot of the things that you're struggling with. That I thank you for your vulnerability. And I'm sending you good thoughts. I'll pray for you. I know that's not everyone's jam, but I genuinely believe that it has good good intentions and like good vibes and a good impact. So yeah, I hope you all have a good night. And I appreciate you guys. Yeah, bye.